night two of my fantasy football 48 hours takes me from the Candyland Coalition to the Fantasy Football Foundation. We review my second draft in as many nights in this episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, of course, for the Candy Lane Coalition draft. We had the first of my two personal leagues drafting at Hooters. We were at the location on 4th Street North in St. Petersburg. They were a gracious host. An ambassador of Hooters, Tony Metzler, longtime supporter of mine, plays in Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, and the store manager of the John's Pass Village location in the original Hooters family, helped us basically set up and do everything. He was three steps ahead of me for the night. I showed up and had a perfect command center for what I needed for the draft. Thank you, Tony. Thank you to Hooters. 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. For information on those 11 locations and easy online ordering, visit originalhooters.com. Remember, at all 11 locations, you can get a Bud or a Bud Light pint, a Mick Ultra pint, or a neutral canned beverage for just under $5. Hooters, continued presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And what was it? Tatiana was our server. Some complained that no Hooters girls were in the photos from the Candyland Coalition draft on my social media, Todd Wright on Facebook, Todd Wright in Tampa on Facebook, or Todd Wright 2121 on Instagram. And for those saying that, well, yeah, you want to show up and be creepy and take photos of Hooters girls like that, you go right ahead. I have a professional relationship to maintain with a brand that has supported me for some time, and I chose everybody that was directly involved in my league to feature in those photos. If you'd like to go see Tatiana and any of the wonderful Hooters girls behind the bar at the to-go window, or who serve at the 4th Street location, then go ahead in there and go see them for yourself. That is the idea. Thanks to Hooters again for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Please send me some of your fantasy results. In a joking fashion, I have to call out someone who emailed me after his recent draft who made a mistake based on the requirements of his league and then asked me a question to help him because he made a mistake. And the question was, and the draft is done, what tight ends should he look for on waivers? I have responded to this gentleman exactly the way most of you would expect me to respond, which is to the point. This is exactly why I removed mandatory tight ends from all of my leagues a decade ago, because I don't have time for trivial tight ends of no significance. So please don't ask me questions about irrelevant tight ends on your bye week in your mandatory tight end leagues. If you want to talk to me about the top handful that actually put up legitimate numbers on a consistent basis, like Kelsey, Laporta, Andrews, likely how that plays out, Kittle, McBride, if he actually starts scoring touchdowns this year, that handful, that's fine because they are fantasy worthy. The position as a starting position in fantasy football leagues is not. And if you are in a league that still plays mandatory tight ends, it's your problem, not mine. I got other things to do that are much more productive than analyzing trivial tight ends who may or may not catch a ball in a single game, let alone be fantasy relevant enough to be conversational. So there was the first that came in. I find it somewhat hypocritical Yeah, I know you don't talk tight ends, but there is no but. You should know me well enough by now. That's why this podcast has been going 9 seasons. That's why my leagues have played this way for 10 seasons. Not happening. That said, let's get to the draft results from last night, because there is a tight end of significance that puts up significant numbers that is on the same level, often as a wide receiver one floor, wide receiver two, that was in the mix for me last night in the foundation where I was defending champion. And it was interesting because based on the draw for draft position, I chose card number two. No candy in this league. It was simply the playing card draw, and then you pick your space. 10-team league, my card was two. My great friend and golf professional Benjamin Hamm of Countryside Country Club had the ace. So he did what every other owner in this league didn't do last year. They all passed on picking first. Ben did not. Chose the first draft slot. If nothing else, it was a block to me. Now, if I had known what he was going to do, maybe I would have done something different. But I chose the transfer spot, which I talk about a lot here on the air. Also, as a commissioner running a very fast in-person live draft, I can't stress enough, being at the end of the round, either way, is less work for me because I'm only on the clock half the time. So I did choose the transfer spot, picking 10th in a 10-team league. That allowed me to commission. It also allowed me to focus on my picks for a few seconds longer because I had two on the clock. And then everybody else can have their fun. And then I do it again once it wraps around to me. So let's run through what happened in the first six rounds. And then, much like I did in the previous podcast with the coalition, I'll talk about rounds 7 through 13 just as they applied to me, because this was a flaw in my championship team last year. No player I selected in the foundation from rounds 7 through 13 last year may have started a single game for me or produced any points of significance for me in a title run, necessitating the need for what were four outstanding waiver claims for me last year. Let's talk about this year. So Ben actually took Tyreek Hill number one. So he blocks me from having the first pick where I took McCaffrey last year and then doesn't take McCaffrey. Had I known, I might have taken the second pick. So I could have selected McCaffrey, but I didn't know Ben was going to do that. So I went to the back end of the round. McCaffrey then went second to a surrogate for Sean, a two-time champion of our league. Ben is a former champion of our league. Jared had a surrogate. Jared is the general manager of West Chase Golf Club, host of annual Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, and a former foundation champion. Jared's surrogate, the captain, chose CeeDee Lamb. Dave Wirth was next, who has had some marvelous teams and just no playoff luck. And he went Breece Hall with the fourth selection. Tara, who has not won a league championship and is the only woman amongst us dudes, and a very fun, wonderful personality. Tara lost to her husband in one of our league championships, and that was the closest she got. She took Justin Jefferson. Nice job, Tara, at five. Jefferson falls to her, and she just goes ahead and makes that move. Bijan Robinson goes sixth to two-time champion, the Doc, a geoscience professor from the University of South Florida. Joey has won a league championship. He took the Sun God at seven. Then our host for the night, Josh Fernandez, took A.J. Brown at eight. The ninth pick went Jamar Chase, which left me on the clock. for the next two. And it's something I have not done in a long, long time. It has been years since I used my first two picks on running backs, but based on the fact that only McCaffrey, Lamb, and Hall were gone. I'm sorry, McCaffrey, Hall, Bijan gone. So three running backs have been chosen. Six wide receivers had been chosen. I really like Marvin Harrison, but I couldn't do it there. And I felt I could get wide receivers and pass catchers later. So based on how the first round went, I'm staring at six running backs, take two. Really. I have six running backs, so go ahead and take what you think will be the best two. And I took King Henry and Jonathan Taylor. And technically, I took Taylor second, which means he fell out of the first round. It's a 10-team league. Taylor's not falling out of a lot of first rounds. So King Henry and Jonathan Taylor are my starting backs. And I haven't done running back, I'm going to say in 5 years. It's been a long time. But that's the way the draft fell for me. And I know that I can just concentrate now. I don't have to worry about the position. Sure, at some point you want a backup, but I have my two starters. We don't flex running backs. If I drafted well with those two guys, they will play for me virtually every week. Set it and forget it. That's the plan. So Barkley goes second pick, second round, then Gibbs, third pick, second round. Pacheco goes fourth pick, second round. I thought about Pacheco instead of Taylor. But what I have come around to in the weeks doing this podcast is I have started to look at the potential season for Jonathan Taylor more optimistically than I did at the beginning of August. And knowing what he's capable of, the grades on the offensive line, even if Richardson doesn't play a full season, Joe Flacco looked very capable last year for Cleveland. So that's why I took Taylor over Pacheco. And we'll get to Kyren Williams, who I owned last year. Also, I was still going to get a piece of that Kansas City offense. And I was pretty comfortable that if you don't do Pacheco here, you can still get a piece of the Chiefs offense very soon. Garrett Wilson went 5. Kyren Williams went 6. Then Marvin Harrison. I wish I owned Marvin Harrison. I don't this year. Perhaps I can acquire him via trade. I doubt it. I think he's going to be very, very good. So that's one player I don't own this year that I wish I did. But I couldn't justify taking him as a wide receiver 1 before taking basically two RB1s in Henry and Taylor. ETN went next, then Nacua, then Josh Jacobs ends round 2. Ben is a Philadelphia Eagles fan. He amazingly waited until the 3rd round to select a Philadelphia Eagle, and he took Jalen Hurts with the first pick of the 3rd round. So based on that, I know now some quarterbacks are going to start coming off the board. So I have to be prepared as someone who likes having a big-time productive starting quarterback. I have Josh Allen in the other league. I've owned Jalen Hurts in the past. It was a trade I made in 2021 in a podcast league that I can't believe I pulled off. I've had Mahomes in previous years. So at this point, I'm like, okay, what quarterback might be available for me when I'm picking again end of 3rd, start of 4th, now that the quarterback run has begun in the 3rd round? Drake London went 2nd in the 3rd round. Josh Allen went 3rd in the 3rd round. So that's gone. Then Mahomes is gone. So 3 quarterbacks Boom, Drake London, boom, boom, in the first four picks of the third round. Then Debo, astute choice to Tara, fifth pick, third round. Dropping in a number of leagues, and you kind of wonder why. Cook goes sixth pick, third round. DK Metcalf, seventh. Mike Evans, eighth. Even for a Tampa-based draft, now that's about right. For a 10-team league, Evans going 28th overall, that's right about at his ADP for Josh to take him there. I would have loved to have had Mike Evans had he lasted two more spots, but he did not. Same with DK Metcalf. Olave went next, which left me then with a choice, with two players to pick at the end of the third round, start of the fourth round. But the big three QBs are gone. And in this spot last year, even though I won a championship, I reached and I took Joe Burrow. Would that have worked out if Burrow had been healthy? Maybe. But it didn't. So I wasn't doing that again. And I'm not saying I would have taken Joe Burrow as much as I love him and love the potential of the Bengals. Let's remember, they are 3 years removed from going to a Super Bowl and losing it on the final drive. Same coach, same defensive coordinator, same quarterback, many of the same offensive weapons. It's good. Good situation in Cincinnati. But at this point, I'm thinking the next handful of quarterbacks to come off the board are not quarterbacks that I feel are worth this pick. So I'm going to learn from my mistake. I've got my starting two running backs. Let's get two very worthy starting pass catchers. And I went Cooper Kupp and Travis Kelce. Boom, boom. So first four rounds, I get King Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp, Travis Kelce. Unless these guys have gotten really old overnight, that's a big first four, considering I picked at the end of round one. Now I got to wait a while to get to round five and round six, but I like what I've done. Second pick of round four was Alvin Kamara, then Devontae Adams, then Sam Laporta. Then Nico Collins, whom I considered. I considered that was really the one that I passed on when doing Kupp Kelce was Nico Collins. And I just did it because there's a bigger sample size on Kupp. Kupp, once he came back last year, was so good again. Kelce, look at what he did in the playoffs. If you were worried about how he only scored five touchdowns in the regular season, we did a whole Kelce kerfuffle podcast about this. So I put my pick where my mouth was and took him. Collins goes fifth. Kenneth Walker goes sixth. Jalen Waddle, seventh pick, round four. DJ Moore, a good selection there. I thought about that. Eighth pick, round four. Brandon Ayuk slips to ninth pick of round four. And James Conner, 10th and final pick of round four. The Eagles fan choosing first, then goes Devontae Smith as his wide receiver two to start round five. Then Mixon, Achan, Zamir White. That's Rashad White to a Buck Homer, Dave Worth, Mark Andrews, Aaron Jones, Lamar Jackson, next quarterback off the board, Swift Brooks. So if I want to go quarterback, only Lamar has gone off the board since I chose not to pick quarterbacks. Again, I don't feel the value is there. And the reason why I'm not doing CJ Stroud in this spot is the simple fact that the top five fantasy quarterbacks the last 4 years, so those 20 names, only two of them have had less than 240 rushing yards. I know, and the numbers support, you need a quarterback who's going to get you rushing yards and some rushing touchdowns. And that's why I stayed away from CJ Stroud here, and just went two more pass catchers. And here it was like, okay, you have Kupp and Kelce. You're going to start one more pass catcher. It has to be a true wide receiver. It can't be another tight end. I don't think I would ever employ two tight ends in a non-mandatory tight end league. So let's take a chance. Let's take a guy. Let's prove the theory again that just because a wide receiver one changes teams doesn't mean he's not a wide receiver one anymore. And let's take a guy off a less than healthy productive year who is clearly in a contract year. So I went Diggs and Higgins, end of round five, start of round six. I considered Rice from Kansas City, but I felt, again, more of a sample size with Diggs and Higgins. I'm not worried about Rice being suspended. I think that waits until 2025, and I do have Kelce, so I have my piece of the Kansas City offense. So if Mahomes is going to throw it, I want him to throw it to Kelce. David Montgomery went third in round six, then Brian Robinson. That's a very solid choice. Is that that's a hell of an RB2 value for former league champion Joey DePompo there in round six after getting his quarterback and three pass catchers to get your RB2 and with how many times Robinson is going to touch the ball. Stroud then went fifth pick, sixth round, followed by Joe Burrow, then Najee Harris, then Zay Flowers, Malik Nabers, Dalton Kincaid, end of round six. So there's the first six rounds. By the way, Deshaun Watson was selected. Ben goes with a backup quarterback in round seven. That seems early. But trying to explain what Ben does is not something that is easily done. And he would be the first to admit that. So there were the first six rounds of our foundation draft. Now let me tell you what I did round 7 through 13 in the hopes I've learned from my mistake last year. Draft someone who can actually be worth the roster spot and help you. Now, I don't expect to roster and play all of these guys in coming weeks, but let's hope I got one or two. End of round 7, I took Raheem Mostert. I now am fully invested in Mostert in both my leagues. Some would call this buying the dip. Now, when I've owned Mostert in the past, he got hurt. When I haven't owned Mostert in the past, he didn't get hurt. But yes, I think Mostert was worth selecting in later rounds. He's actually my starting RB2 in the coalition, and he is my first running back off the bench in the foundation. That's also the difference between a 12-team league coalition, 10-team league foundation. Then in round 8, I went ahead and did it. I didn't think I could wait until round 9, round 10. Round 8 was time to get my quarterback, and I chose Jaden Daniels, who could be a top 3-ish fantasy producer. Could. Or it's going to be a lost rookie season like Anthony Richardson. It's probably going to be nowhere in between. But I went Jaden Daniels with the first pick in the 8th round. First pick in the 9th round, I went Jaden Reed, who seems to be the best choice of all the Green Bay wideouts for Jordan Love. And we saw this play out at the end of last year when Green Bay got hot. Now, the fact that Christian Watson has not missed any time, since OTAs, and has chronic hamstring problems, Watson, a healthy Watson, and a consistent Jaden Reed picking up from where he left off last year would mean big things for the Packers. It's a lot to ask of both. Watson was actually selected, where was Christian Watson selected in our draft? I can't find him on the board, but he was. Maybe that was Christian Watson who went start of round 7 to Ben. And he didn't draft a backup quarterback. That might be what he did. Okay. They're both named Watson. I'll find out later. It's a bit trivial at this point to you guys. But I went Reed, round 9, and then just in case Daniels gets hurt or doesn't work, I took Matthew Berry's ride or die in round 10. Because while I'm not a Kyler Murray fan, we did an entire podcast about Matthew Berry's ride or die, and it's titled Garbage Time Machine. And that's what Kyler Murray is. And he's also going to get that floor of rushing yards that makes you potentially a top 5 fantasy QB for the year. And he now has a true number 1 wideout who should put up big time numbers in Marvin Harrison. And the Cardinals should be, probably won't take long, right, for them to be down 2-3 scores to the Buffalo Bills. And then it's just Murray moving them down the field, cranking out fantasy points in a game the Cardinals are going to lose. 11th round, I took Cortland Sutton. He was just about the last wide receiver 1 on any team available. And I want to believe in Bo Nix. I'm not a huge fan of Cortland Sutton, but based on what's going on in Denver, this could be garbage time as well. Sutton might be someone on my bench who I can plug and play at some point. I took Blake Corum in round 12 because I know the way McVay uses his running backs, and once he gets one on the field that he likes, it's a lot of volume. And I'm not alone, right? I owned Kyren Williams last year. I know how this can go. We've seen it before with Cam Akers as well. So I'll take next man up in LA and try to be patient and see what happens when or if Blake Corum gets his opportunity to line up behind Matt Stafford. And then I needed a kicker with the last pick in round 13. And since I was the last to choose a kicker, I went with a rock solid option that I've owned in years past. He's not the best kicker, but he gets it done and he gets a lot of opportunities, and that's Tyler Bass. And if I want to get off Tyler Bass by the time the weather gets bad in Buffalo, I have plenty of time to do that. So that's what I did in the foundation in an attempt to defend the Jimmy McGinty Trophy this year. It was great to see everybody. This league has had a very consistent membership for the bulk of the 10 years that we've been doing this. And we did our live draft in under, I think, including a 10-minute break we took. If you include the 10-minute break, we did it in under an hour. If you remove the break, then in actual draft time, we did a 10-team draft, 13 rounds, in 49 minutes, live and in person. And everybody was happy and on their way. And I thank Josh Fernandez and PDQ for hosting us again this year and for feeding us, which is very generous and very nice. Check the pictures on social media. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, has given you 30 episodes before we ever play a game in fantasy football this year. Please send me some of your draft results and questions for me to have fun with here on the air at write.todd@yahoo.com. Remember, that is the only way that I acknowledge and respond is via email, not on social media, not on message boards. write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com.